This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Questioning the narrative. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, October 23rd. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is suggesting he has doubts about the way Saudi officials have described the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
An explosive device has been found near the New York home of billionaire investor George Soros.
In sports, Game 1 of the World Series is tonight with the Red Sox hosting the Dodgers. In Monday Night Football, the Falcons beat the Giants.
And when competitions for promotions backfire at the office.
Employers are opening up more job postings and trying to fill more openings from within in this tight labor market, and they're allowing all comers to compete for jobs inside the company. And this can give fast, fair access to new jobs for people. On the other hand, it can produce a crop of losers who feel dispirited and discouraged.
Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger on navigating in-house battles for new titles at work. She's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump is questioning the account that Saudi officials have given him about the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, but said he still believed it was a, quote, plot gone awry. In an exclusive interview with USA Today, he indicated he would oppose efforts to cease arms sales to the kingdom in response. There are many other potential penalties, he said, saying he would be guided by consultations with key members of Congress in settling on the appropriate response.
We will know very soon. We have tremendously talented people that do this stuff very well. They're coming back tonight, tomorrow, and I will know very soon. And I am not satisfied with what I've heard.
Saudi officials last week said Mr. Khashoggi's death followed a brawl inside the building, an explanation that drew skepticism from some on Capitol Hill. Mr. Trump said he had talked on the phone with both Saudi and Turkish leaders and that more details about what happened inside the Saudi consulate in Turkey would be known within a day or two. The power of the sophisticated Saudi influence machine that has shaped policy and perceptions in Washington for decades, batting back critiques of the oil-rich kingdom by doling out millions to lobbyists, blue-chip law firms, prominent think tanks, and large defense contractors, is under the microscope now. In 2017, Saudi payments to lobbyists and consultants in Washington more than tripled over the previous year. The strength of the Saudi operation is now being tested amid the killing of Mr. Khashoggi earlier this month in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, a death the kingdom belatedly acknowledged last week. More from Washington Post investigative reporter Beth Reinhardt. Beth, what have you found?
So the Saudis have been players in D.C. for a while. I mean, obviously, after 9/11, they had a lot of damage control to do. But their influence has considerably ramped up under Trump in the last couple years, in part because they've seen an opening in the Trump administration. Trump has a relationship with the Saudis, a business relationship with the Saudis. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has bonded with the Crown Prince. But also because the Saudis had a big setback at the end of the Obama administration where there was a law passed that allowed the families of 9/11 victims to sue the Saudi government, alleging that they, had ties to the terrorists, and the Saudi government has obviously been fighting a law that would allow the families to do that and say that they had nothing to do with 9/11. But anyway, after that law passed, I think the Saudis thought, wow, we don't have the influence we need in D.C., and they have tripled their spending on lobbying in the last couple of years.
Boy, is there actually any dollar amount that's been floated out there as to what they spent?
Right. It was $27 million, my colleagues and I totaled up, in 2017. And that's just, paid lobbyists. I mean, there's a lot of money that is not reported. There's money spent courting the media. There's a lot of ways that they are you know, ingratiating themselves into the media and political establishments here in Washington. And some of it is with dollars, and some of it is with, as we said in the headline there, charm offensives.
Yeah. How do they court the media?
So one example we found was Super Bowl tickets. They offered Super Bowl tickets and flights to the game, chartered flights, to Jake Tapper and Brett Baer were among the journalists that they courted that way. Both of those guys turned down the offer. We're eager to find out anyone who accepted.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to step forward, we're interested.
We're speaking with Beth Reinhardt, investigative reporter at The Washington Post. She's written a piece called Inside the Saudis' Washington Influence Machine. What else have they done, or events, things like that?
So when the Crown Prince visited earlier this year in March, I mean, that was a whole national tour. I mean, he came into D.C., he had lunch at the White House, he met with folks on Capitol Hill, there was a big party for him that the embassy threw, and then he traveled across the country. He met with celebrities, he met with scholars, he met with politicians, he met with Jeff Bezos, the owner of the Washington Post, and of course the Amazon CEO. So it was sort of a public relations tour, and it was a big success, I think, in the Saudis' estimation.
Wow. You said that one of the biggest beneficiaries, too, has been the Middle East Institute. What does that group do?
So they're one of the many think tanks in Washington. They hold themselves forth as a unbiased source of information. But, you know, we found they are getting a lot of money, both from the Saudis and even more from UAE, which is a close ally of Saudi Arabia, gave the Middle East Institute $20 million. And so even though they insist that their scholars are independent and that no government funding comes with any strings attached, they are getting money from these foreign sources. And that's true of many, many think tanks in Washington, and, of course, not just from Saudi Arabia, but from many foreign governments.
Yeah. So, as you point out, the Saudi influence right now is being tested in the wake of the Khashoggi situation. So now what?
Well, now, you know, a few lobbyists and think tanks have declared they will not take Saudi money. It will be interesting to see if that holds, if they kind of wait for the storm to pass and then continue taking that money, or whether this marks, you know, a real chill in the relationship.
Thanks, Beth. Beth Reinhardt, investigative reporter at The Washington Post. The journey has resumed for an estimated 5,000 Honduran migrants who are on a mission to walk their way into the U.S. Their first 11 days took them from Honduras and across Guatemala and just over the Mexico border. In a series of tweets yesterday, President Trump said he had alerted the U.S. Border Patrol and the military that the caravan was a national emergency. He criticized El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico for not stopping the group or otherwise curbing the flow of migrants. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
We're continuing to look at all options on the table. The president wants to make sure we're doing everything we can to secure and protect our borders, and that's exactly what he's been talking about.
The president has threatened to end or cut foreign aid to Central American countries. The Honduran government estimates that 2,000 migrants returned home. Mexico says another 1,000 or so have applied for asylum, but the majority crossed the border illegally, mostly on rickety rafts run by human smugglers. It is 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. The Supreme Court has ruled that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross does not have to testify about his motives for adding a question on citizenship to the 2020 census. More from This Morning's Dave Duncan.
The issue was whether Mr. Ross and other officials can be questioned by lawyers for opponents seeking to block the citizenship question. The court specified last night only that Mr. Ross should be immune from questioning. Two justices, Neil Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas, dissented in part to make clear that they would have absolved other government officials as well from what they termed an inquisition. Lawyers for states, localities, and civil rights groups objecting to the citizenship question say there's no legitimate reason for it. Gordon.
Thanks, Dave. The government has not asked about individual citizenship on the census since 1950. Opponents contend fears of deportation among undocumented immigrants will cause them to be undercounted. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. If you have a balance on your credit cards and a higher interest rate than you would like, why not turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 6.14% APR with autopay. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. Plus, they're a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. The process is very smooth, and the service they provide is excellent. Plus, our listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/deal. That's Lightstream, LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, the rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/deal for more information. That's lightstream.com/deal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
More than thousands of Central American migrants continue an arduous trek toward the U.S. border, with many bristling at suggestions there could be terrorists among them and saying the caravan is being used for political ends by President Trump.
They have a lot of everybody in that group. It's a horrible thing, and it's a lot bigger than 5,000 people, and we got to stop them at the border. And unfortunately, you look at the countries, they have not done their job.
The group's numbers have continued to grow as they walk and hitch rides through hot and humid weather, and the UN estimates that it currently comprises some 7,200 people. They are still at least 1,100 miles from the nearest U.S. border crossing. The Turkish president is expected to announce details of his country's investigation into the killing of Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi as skepticism intensifies about Saudi Arabia's account that he died accidentally in its consulate in Istanbul. White House advisor Jared Kushner told ABC the U.S. is still awaiting information.
We're obviously getting as many facts as we can from the different places, and then we'll determine which facts are credible.
Turkish officials say they will clarify exactly what happened to Khashoggi as the stream of leaks to national and international media increased pressure on Saudi Arabia. An explosive device was found in a mailbox at the Westchester County, New York home of George Soros, the billionaire philanthropist who is a favorite target of right-wing groups. Law enforcement officials say an employee of the residence opened the package and called police, who then proactively detonated it. The FBI is investigating. China today opened the world's longest sea crossing bridge linking Hong Kong to the mainland, a feat of engineering carrying immense economic and political significance. Chinese President Xi Jinping presided over a ceremony to open the 34-mile-long bridge linking it to the semi-autonomous regions of Hong Kong and Macau. The $20 billion bridge took almost a decade to build while incurring major delays and cost overruns, and includes an undersea tunnel allowing ships to pass through the Pearl River Delta, the heart of China's crucial manufacturing sector.
Jeez, that's what, twice as long as like the Chesapeake Bay Bridge tunnel?
I don't even know.
Underwater and then above water and then underwater again.
34 miles is pretty darn long.
That's astonishing. I wouldn't even begin to know how to build something like that.
That's why we're sitting here.
Do I swim with this concrete to the bottom? Oh, man. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Learn about the best state to start or grow your business at michiganbusiness.org. If career planning at your office is starting to resemble an episode of Survivor, you're not alone. More employers are sparking internal competitions by posting job openings online and encouraging interested employees to apply. Wall Street Journal writer Sue Schellenbarger says the internal horse races that ensue open up new career opportunities, but also risk leaving angry, dispirited runners-up. Sue, what do we have?
Employers are opening up more job postings and trying to fill more openings from within in this tight labor market, and they're allowing all comers to compete for jobs inside the company. And this can give fast, fair access to new jobs for people. The intentions are very good. On the other hand, it can produce a crop of losers who feel dispirited and discouraged if they don't get the job.
What's a typical scenario like?
Typically, an employer might post a job and perhaps publicize it anywhere from two or three to dozens, literally, of people might apply. Some of them might be knocked out before they're even interviewed. This is especially discouraging, according to research. And others might be interviewed, and someone will eventually get the job, usually an insider, not always. Sometimes they're competing with outsiders, too. But what happens then is that the sometimes employers just kind of let everyone go their merry way without really stopping to think about the impact on people who didn't get the job. They go back to their regular gig, sometimes feel discouraged, and are 2.5 times more likely to leave the company, according to one study I found.
What kind of, well, I guess there could be relationship damage, right, if you're among those not chosen?
Well, there certainly can. If there really are very few secrets, right, in these kinds of things that employers try to keep them confidential, but they aren't kept secret. You might find yourself shoulder to shoulder with your competitor at happy hour or bump into them in the hallway, and you may feel really competitive, but it really takes an effort of will and some social skill to just graciously say, hey, I heard you're applying for that job too. Good luck. I think you'd do a great job. Mm. You know, and so just to kind of gloss it over so you can move on and just get back to life as usual.
Well, we're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. Her piece is called When Winner-Take-All Battles Backfire at Work. There was an interesting quote in your story from somebody who said along the lines, we don't know how to build careers within organizations.
The researcher who said that had conducted a really excellent study of a large health insurance company over the long term of 8,000 internal hires. And he said that that companies are well-intentioned. They've kind of thrown out the old career ladder and the predictable promotion schedule, but they haven't really replaced it with, most of them haven't replaced it with a training context to help employees figure out, okay, well, where might I go next?
It's Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. No one compliments you when their paycheck is correct, but make one mistake and you risk alienating your entire workforce. With Kronos, we make sure your payroll is done right the first time, from punch to paycheck. Embedded checklists, simplified workflows, a single source of truth. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/payroll. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Tuesday, October 23rd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump questions the Saudi narrative on the death of Jamal Khashoggi. Dozens of food makers issue recalls for things like ready-to-eat salads and pre-made meals like pizza at stores like Harris Teeter, Kroger, Walmart, Whole Foods. Mega Millions jackpot, $1.6 billion tonight. Game one of the World Series this evening, Dodgers and Red Sox. WWE superstar Roman Reigns has announced that his leukemia has returned. And illegal ingredients in your dietary supplements. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. The political thinking right now is that the blue wave for the midterm elections is not going to be as powerful as once believed. That said, history does not favor the political party of the president during off-year elections. With a look at three bellwether states that could determine control of the Senate, here's Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. Jerry, set this up.
Well, so you know, for Democrats to win control of the Senate, and the Republicans have only a 51-49 margin there, so it's not a big margin. Obviously, it's the smallest possible, but Democrats would still have to defend a whole lot of tough states, win those states, keep those seats, and turn a couple of others in their direction. And that is a tall order because a lot of the seats the Democrats have to defend, 10 of them, in fact, are in basically red states that Donald Trump won. So they have to hold on there and find a couple of others that they can turn their way. And when you look at that equation that they have to put together, I was trying to figure out what are the bellwether states that will tell you whether they can pull this off or not. And it seems to me there are three of them. One is Missouri, where Claire McCaskill, a Democrat, is trying to hold on in a state that has gone increasingly red over the last few cycles, and where she really did have a problem in how to handle the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination. There was there's a liberal base, a progressive base in Kansas City and St. Louis that was opposed to Kavanaugh, wanted her to oppose it, which she did, but also the Southern Missouri is very much Trump country, so she's trapped in the middle. And if she holds on, it'll be because she's Claire McCaskill, a kind of an institution in Missouri, but it's a very tough environment, and that one turns out in the balance to be hugely important for the Democrats. Second one is Florida, where you have Bill Nelson, another Democratic incumbent, facing Rick Scott, the incumbent Republican governor. So that's a big-time match between two heavyweights, very, very heavily funded from both sides. And the wild card there all of a sudden is Hurricane Michael, and does that help Governor Scott because he's seen as leading the rescue effort, or does it ultimately hurt him if people think the rescue effort hasn't been sufficient? So, again, Democrats need to hold on to that one if they're going to have a chance. And third is an interesting open seat in Arizona, where there's a Jeff Flake, a Republican, retiring. Arizona's kind of become the ultimate purple state. It can go either way in any election. And you have two women from Congress, Martha McSally on the Republican side and Kyrsten Sinema on the Democratic side, in a year of the woman going at it, Martha McSally running pretty much as a Trump Republican, and Kyrsten Sinema running as a kind of a moderate Democrat in a state that can go any which direction depending on who shows up. And if Democrats are going to flip one to get them to their 50 or 51 vote total, one of those is probably going to have to be Arizona. So those seem like the three to watch if you're trying to figure out how this adds up at the end of the night on November 6th.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seibes. Done an online video talking about the three bellwether races that could determine control of the Senate. With regards to Missouri and Florida, the kind of the late arriving debatable topics like Kavanaugh in Missouri and then Hurricane Michael in Florida, will those be enough to determine an election outcome?
That's the great question. It's hard to know. Is it going to be late-breaking events, or is it basically the fundamentals? And I think certainly in Florida, there's a big question about who turns out. Is it suburban voters, or is it Hispanics, or is it working class more conservative voters in the panhandle? Where's the turnout going to be? And I think in Missouri, you have a similar situation in which there's a potentially large vote of suburban women for Claire McCaskill, but also millennials and minorities. Those are two groups of voters who simply aren't as reliable in terms of just showing up in a midterm election compared to their performance in a presidential election. So, events on the ground are difficult to predict, but it's also difficult to predict turnout in a midterm. There seems to be a lot of enthusiasm on both sides, but, enthusiasm 3 weeks before the election and actually showing up on election day are two different things.
Thanks, Jerry. It's Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seibes. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. Red Sox meet the Dodgers in the World Series starting tonight at Fenway Park. Dodgers are the sentimentalists' easy choice. It's been 30 years since the Dodgers last won the title. One of the game's signature franchises is overdue for glory. But Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay, tongue-in-cheek, asks that you allow him a moment to make a case for the Red Sox, who themselves have not won a World Series in 5 whole years. He implores you to think of the children of New England. Jason, how do you see it?
Well, look, Gordon, it's easy to look at the Los Angeles Dodgers in this World Series. They haven't won a World Series since 1988. That walk-off or that hobble-off Kirk Gibson home run. Can you believe that was 3 decades ago?
Right.
So there's a lot of sentiment for the Dodgers to finally win a series. But let's not forget about the young people of Boston, Gordon. There are 4-year-olds, there are 3-year-olds, there are 2-year-olds who have never seen the Red Sox hoist a World Series trophy, and let's not forget about their anguish. I mean, that's an entire life of a four-year-old. No Red Sox World Series.
That's the stuff counselors are made of.
Yeah, yeah, no, my heart goes out to the kids.
The you know, you, in all seriousness, you point out too, I mean, some of these kids, what'd you say, the age is like 14? These kids have seen titles in what, every major sport in New England.
They have indeed seen a title in every major sport in New England. In fact, if you're, 18, you've seen something on the order of 5 Patriots Super Bowls, 4 Red Sox World Series now, or, you know, 3 titles, Celtics title, a Bruins title, and you've even gotten to see 17 iPhones. It's a remarkable time to be alive, Gordon.
The interesting thing, too, I think, and you sort of hint at it, calling it a drought now for the Red Sox, but you get greedy, right? I mean, you expect to win every year.
I think so, and I think that one thing that is very clear when you take a look at a club like Los Angeles or Boston, I mean, the payrolls for both of these teams hover around $200 million. You know, they're not in the business of having down cycles. You know, certainly the television revenue and the stadium revenue is enough to perpetuate, you know, good clubs and find big free agents. And so you're not going to see the Red Sox really sort of go through the kinds of droughts that they may have had in years past or generations past, same with the Dodgers.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay. You made the point, too, that this Red Sox team seems to get bounces, calls, lucky breaks, things like that. What did you mean?
Well, I just, you know, full disclosure, I'm a Massachusetts kid. I grew up in the Bucky Dent, Bill Buckner era of Red Sox anguish. And to watch a team for which, you know, luck seems to go their way. The Black Cats cross the other dugout. You know, things like Craig Kimball, the Red Sox pitcher, who just seems so, you know, wobbly and snake-bitten. He just seems to wiggle out of every bad situation. I mean, these are feelings that, if you grew up with the Calvin Schiraldis and the Buckners and all that kind of stuff, are very sort of strange things to witness.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that. I didn't follow baseball all year long, but you made it seem like Kimbrel is just, I don't know, a giant question mark every time he takes the hill. Does that get really exposed in the postseason? Because the Red Sox are, I don't know, chopping through everybody right now.
It has not so far. I mean, Kimbrel has had, you know, big wobbles against the New York Yankees in the divisional round, big wobbles against the Astros, but he's bailed himself out each time. And I think that, you know, it's almost become this cultural gathering for Red Sox fans to sit there wringing their hands. I imagine there are quite a few people who might even turn off the television of the volume, at least when Kimbrel takes the mound, because it's so stressful. But again, it's not the kind of thing that has resulted in losing games. And so that's the strangest part of the whole thing, is that you get the roller coaster, but then you get to celebrate at the end. That's just not familiar turf for, you know, an old school Red Sox fan.
What's good for baseball? For the Dodgers to win it after 30 years, or to give people a chance to talk about a dynasty in Boston?
Well, I think baseball's already won with this World Series. You're talking about two classic giant television markets, you know, teams that have, you know, great passionate fan bases around the country. I think the ratings for it will be good. I mean, it's not all about television ratings, but we can't ignore that sort of component of what sports are in the 21st century. So I think you're going to have, you know, a good deal of interest in this thing.
Thanks, Jason. It's Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay. It is 12 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio with the easy-to-use Robinhood platform. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. Even get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at gordon.robinhood.com. That's gordon.robinhood.com. Com. Thanks for being with us. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Trump says he wants to know what happened in the death of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, but also voiced a protective view of the U.S.-Saudi alliance. Trump told reporters outside the White House he doesn't want to lose all of that investment that's being made in our country.
I spoke to the Crown Prince. We have people over in Saudi Arabia now. We have top intelligence people in Turkey. We're going to see what we have.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin traveled to Saudi Arabia yesterday and met Prince Mohammed. Mnuchin last week canceled plans to speak at a Saudi investment conference but planned other meetings. CIA Director Gina Haspel traveled yesterday to Turkey to meet with investigators there as the U.S. reviews evidence in the case. As a caravan of Central Americans heads towards the U.S., President Trump is threatening to cut aid to three countries for letting the migrants leave. Most are now in southern Mexico, about 1,100 miles from the nearest U.S. border crossing. Migrants from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador say they're fleeing poverty, persecution, and gang violence. The group is now estimated to include more than 7,200 migrants. The Supreme Court has stepped into a political minefield by ruling that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross does not have to reveal his motives for adding a question on citizenship to the 2020 census. The justices, however, did leave open the challenger's ability to gather information from elsewhere in the Trump administration. Despite their desire to keep a low nonpartisan profile, the justices were forced to enter a dispute that could affect the political and financial clout of immigrant communities. An ancient Greek trading ship dating back more than 2,400 years has been found virtually intact at the bottom of the Black Sea. The ship was dated back to 400 BC, a time when the Black Sea was a trading hub filled with Greek colonies. The vessel was found at a depth of more than 6,500 feet. The water at that depth is oxygen-free, meaning that organic material can be preserved for thousands of years.
What? That is unbelievable.
I know.
2,400 years ago, a trading ship.
Yep.
Let's see how that was built.
I know, and they will. We'll find out.
Man. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. That weight loss supplement you're taking may contain illegal and potentially harmful ingredients. A new study that looked at dietary supplements found experimental stimulants both before and after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued public warnings about them. The study published online in JAMA Internal Medicine this week says the stimulants aren't approved for human use and are believed to increase blood pressure and heart rates, potentially. One of the stimulants, DMAA, was used in nasal decongestants in the 1940s, but withdrawn from the market several decades later. Another, oxylofrene, was approved for use in some European countries for patients with low blood pressure, but never approved in the U.S. Two others have never been approved for use in humans, but are believed to function like stimulants based on animal studies. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.